We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jumping off in hour two here of Sports Talk. Soon to be joined by Peter King, NFL writer for NBC Sports. All right, we got him on the line with us right now, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, and Peter King, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're adjusting to it all.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
We all adjusted. And you know, Peter, do you still have Saints season tickets? Because I know post-Katrina –
No, I had them really for 4 years, Bobby. I'll tell you what happened. I had them starting in 2006. I had them for 4 years, and I gave them each year. I gave them to Habitat for Humanity, and they used them. And then I just let one of the guys who runs, who is an executive with Habitat for Humanity, who I gave the tickets to and said, you can do whatever you want with them. I gave it to him in like 2009 or 10. And then I stopped holding them at that point. They're his now.
You know, Peter, when you look at where the Saints are right, talk about consistency. And is there any more stability than you look since 2006 and Sean Payton and Drew Brees? I mean, to me, they're right on the cusp of truly winning their second Super Bowl. They've had the most wins the last three regular seasons. To me, this is obviously, to say the least, it's an understatement. This is the heyday of the Saints, and any time you can accomplish great things over a decade or a dozen years, to me, it's a great accomplishment. We all know about the Patriots in the 21st century, but the Saints are right there behind them as far as consistency, and you know you're supporting a winner.
I mean, here's the way I look at the Saints right now. I mean, if you look at the last, even though they had the little spell of 7-9s, if you look at this team, I mean, what team over the last decade and a half, other than the Patriots, what team do you want to be? And, you know, really, this is basically the 15th year when you think about it. You think about Mickey Loomis, you think about the Benson family, you think about Sean Payton, and you think how incredibly fortunate the Saints were that Nick Saban failed Drew Brees, or not Nick Saban, but the Dolphins failed Drew Brees on the physical, in essence. Because, you know, I'll always wonder to this day, and I think it's a question that football historians will ask long after we're dead. And the question is, if Drew Brees had signed with the Miami Dolphins in 2006, would the Patriots have won six Super Bowls? Would Nick Saban be the coach at Alabama right now? Or would he be entering 2020 in the twilight of Drew Brees' career, trying to win his second or third or fourth Super Bowl with Drew Brees as his quarterback? I mean, it's just, it is absolutely, positively amazing the chain of events that happened when Drew Brees signed with the Saints and not the Miami Dolphins.
The great Peter King here on Sports Talk. And Peter, right now with the NFL, and there was so much consternation about whether they were going to have the draft, should they push it back. Do you think the NFL did the right thing keeping the draft at the end of this month?
As much as 3 weeks ago, I didn't think so because I really felt like, you know, I live in Brooklyn. And so I'm kind of in the belly of the beast here. And, you know, and you guys are in New Orleans. You're in the liver of the beast or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, we're all sort of seeing this every day and seeing how incredibly damaging it is to our society. But I the more I've gotten into this year, I realize that I think America needs something. And I think fans need something. And I think as awkward and as uncomfortable as it's going to be for the Mickey Loomises and Chris Ballards and John Schneiders and Thomas Dimitroffs and all the coaches and scouts, as awkward and as uncomfortable as it's going to be, I think it's going to be sort of a soothing balm for America. And I'm surprised to hear myself say this because I wouldn't have said 3 weeks ago, but yeah, I think it's good that the NFL is doing this.
Now, you know, Peter, when you look at going forward, obviously we can't look at the crystal ball. We take it one day, 1 week at a time. And who knows? May 1st could be different than June 1st. But I'm looking at the NFL and how they're structured, and that you look, football is made for TV. It's a TV sport. Yeah. Now, I know you want the fannies in the seats, but I don't know, from a liability standpoint, that's just around the corner when you look at really September, even – around these parts, you look in the deep South, how we love the SEC, college football, LSU coming off a national championship. Could you see realistically that they could figure out some way to maybe have the season with no fans? I mean, whether it be college football or I should say major college football made for TV or even the NFL,
yeah.
Because of liability reasons.
You know, Bobby, I will just say this, that the other night I was watching PBS. I watched their evening news a lot of nights, and Bill Gates was on the PBS news hour. Obviously one of the richest men in America and one of the guys who is the most philanthropic now. And Judy Woodruff, the host, was asking him about it. And he said essentially that I don't see how there can be big events or conventions or huge movie theaters. I don't see how you open those again without having a vaccine for this disease. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but
right.
I think he might be right. I think that we might be heading into a calendar year where athletic events are played without fans watching them, if athletic events are played at all. But again, I don't know. There's so much left to do in the next. I mean, look, the NFL season is scheduled to start 5 months from tomorrow. A lot can happen in 5 months. We keep hearing there's going to be no vaccine for a year or maybe even longer. We don't know. We don't know anything. So, but all I'm saying is it wouldn't shock me right now if games were played in the NFL with no fans in the stands.
Now, when you look at relative sports, Peter, as far as games that count, you know, at times some fans have told me, that like, I can only watch so many replays of great events in sports history. I want something that's relevant, today. And I don't know if you're a Scott Boras fan, you know, baseball's most prominent agent. But the concept, and I think it could be pulled off, because Major League Baseball used to be what America's pastime, but football's America's passion. And considering where Major League Baseball's at, I'm looking at half of the Major League clubs, what whole spring training in Arizona, other half in Florida. But I think that's something that could maybe logistic-wise can work out. When I look at Arizona, has the advantage, 10 spring training ballparks.
Yeah.
Plus
yeah.
the Diamondbacks at Chase Field. They're all located within a 50-mile radius. And Chase Field, here you have artificial turf, retractable roof. You could have daily triple headers. Do you think that Major League Baseball is really taking that into consideration and maybe that can work? I know the players will be away from their family, but you could sacrifice for a few months when you think of the game, and obviously you want a paycheck.
Yeah, look, here's the whole thing. If we're going to have to just wait and see if, because we don't know right now if it is healthy and sensible. We won't know a month from now if it's going to be smart to say, okay, all major league players gather in Arizona and start playing start playing baseball. We don't know that yet. And so I think I just read something yesterday, I forget where, that all the people in Arizona says, we don't want you coming to our state. We want to get rid of this pandemic first, and then we'll worry about sports. So there's all of these things that every day there's a new story, and every day there's new knowledge being gained. And in my opinion, I just don't think we know enough yet to do anything but sort of speculate. Because things change by the day with this pandemic.
Peter King, NFL writer for NBC Sports. Great stuff as always. Stay safe, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Sports Talk continues here on WWL. And the UFC has UFC 249 canceled and all other events postponed indefinitely due to COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak. Man, it just keeps coming. And Bobby, we were just talking to Peter King, you know, longtime respected voice in terms of opinions, especially in the NFL. And what he said about the NFL and how the season could look is sobering in a lot of ways. But, man, that's the thing about it. And he even admitted to it that it's an opinion. It's not a fact. We don't know what we don't know yet. But pretty jarring to hear him say that.
Well, and the one thing, Christian, I can tell you right now, listen, we're right before Easter. I would lose a lot of money, and I'm not a betting man, but if I would bet, I don't see how they can have fannies in the seats in Tiger Stadium or Superdome, because you're sitting on top of one another and you can have a second wave and all that. The one thing how you could salvage somewhat is, come on, you don't think we'd be glued to the TV? Look how many people watched the Monday night game, the Saints and Falcons, the rebirth. You know, 70,000. So you look at advertisers. You look at the television revenue. I just know the NFL, that they know that football is made for TV and how important that is. Somehow, I don't know, Chris, I'm not smart enough, I told you this before, to figure this out, but to somehow have games, but you look at the close contact, I just don't know, but I agree with Peter King. Until there's a vaccine, everyone will be uneasy and maybe not want to be in that number. You know, we always talk about the Who Dat Nation and, you know, do you want to be in that number? That's the challenging thing because of the virus. And this is across the world. Any sporting event, when you have fans and they're sitting by one another, I just don't know how can that be accomplished, considering that's not that far, September. And I still think, I'm hoping that if you could have some kind of season, whether it's NBA or on a basketball court with no fans, and you know, he's still competing best against the best, and even if that would come about, NFL or even college football, that's my ray of hope right now. And I think the fans have to realize it's going to be an unusual season, unusual circumstance, and that this is going to pass, and we're going to look forward to being a part of the great sporting events. But we just don't know. Christian, you could speculate. You have to trust the experts and what they know.
For sure.
Because, I mean, what if all of a sudden, you know, you're playing games and all that, and somebody tests positive? Do you shut down the season then? Do you quarantine the players? I mean, there's so many things that can happen. So, everyone uses this term. We're in uncharted territories, to say the least, and we just don't know. April, May, what's going to come about in the summer. But somehow I know that football is made for TV, and a lot of times you hear fans say this all the time, well, I enjoy the atmosphere of the game and to be in the stands and all that, and that's part of the product that, you know, people could be watching on TV. They see the atmosphere. They see the excitement. But I just think from that perspective, it goes back to the early 60s with the NFL and, in football. And going back to Johnny Unitas and the Colts and the Giants and all in the championship game, all of a sudden, just look at the TV ratings. Like 20, I want to say, Christian, look at the top 20 programming events on television. You know, people always bring up in the late 70s MASH and all that, but I want to see 18 of the top 20 viewing products has been the NFL. So it seems like maybe they're smart enough people to figure that out now. From a safety perspective, you want that. So that's the only ray of hope I have at the end, you know, to go in that direction. But, Christian, speaking of, you know, hope and the future of the Saints organization, you know, we had Mike Dettelier on, and we could throw out there this to the audience because I think people would call in about this when you think about, look where the Saints – are drafting. And let's say we don't know who's going to be available or not. We all know the LSU influence coming off a national championship. What would you do if you pick in 24th and we know the need at linebacker? Now, it's not necessarily the case with receiver because Emmanuel Sanders, but we still need a young guy. But what would the Houdat Nation do? Would you draft a Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma at linebacker, because that's a position obviously the Saints want to address, and that's really attractive. And then our Justin Jefferson. Now, I think, like Mike said, Dettelier, Justin Jefferson might be gone. I saw as of late, you know, would be number 21 to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it was somewhere where I saw even the Raiders before that. Like the Raiders, Philadelphia, even Minnesota. At 22, could be after Jefferson. So who knows? He might not even be there. But let's say in theory that Justin Jefferson is there along with Kenneth Murray and just throw in another LSU player, Patrick Queen. He's a linebacker. So who would you take?
Bobby, I'll answer that question. First off, if you look at the history under Sean Payton, when have they usually drafted linebackers? They haven't been drafting them in the first round. I can't recall a linebacker.
Well, they drafted the guy, yeah, I can't think of his name now, from Clemson, the late first round.
Oh, Stephon Anthony. You're right. Stephon Anthony.
They brought him back, but he didn't work out. I mean,
they've only drafted one linebacker in the first round.
Right.
You know, they've addressed it in other rounds. They found DeMario Davis in free agency, Alex Anzalone. I know he's not healthy all the time. They found him in the third round. I mean, if you're asking me, though, I think you draft.
But look at all of the receivers, Christian. But look at the depth at wide receiver. But you know, to me, that's why I trust the scouting department and Jeff Ireland and all what they're doing. If they think Kenneth Murray's the guy. See, I don't think Patrick Queen. I think Patrick Queen's going to still go in the first round. And that might be late first round. I'm looking at the Ravens at number 28. And, you know, the rich get richer. The Ravens are always going to have a stout defense, so that would be a great opportunity for him. But I would take Murray over Patrick Queen, even though the LSU connection. But that comes into play with Justin Jefferson versus Kenneth Murray. I'm interested to see what the Houdat Nation, what the fans think. But if you'd ask me right now where we're at, I want to win now. And I kind of like Emmanuel Sanders being a number two receiver. Nothing wrong with all of a sudden Justin Jefferson coming into the fold and contributing and being – the number three receiver, because we need some damn receivers. The bottom line is, when you look at it, Michael Thomas had 149 catches. That was 68 more than anyone else on the team. Think about that. 68 more catches than anyone else on the team. Now, we all know Alvin Kamara, he was second with 81. He's done that three seasons in a row. But this is ridiculous that when you look at, listen, I've been a Ted Ginn fan. Can Ted Ginn? So people say, "Oh, he's 34 years old. Why is Ted Ginn on the team?" Well, he's on the team because no one has beaten him out. But this is a ridiculous amount. Michael Thomas had 119 more catches than the next wide receiver. Ted Ginn had 30. So I think when you look at Emmanuel Sanders and where he's at right now, and if you just go by based on what he did even last year. We all know that game he had on December 7th when he had 9 catches for 157 yards. He ended up last year with 869 yards and 66 catches. That there still would be enough footballs to go around if you had a guy to contribute like Justin Jefferson. He would have at least Ted Ginn Jr. Numbers, if not more. So that's when you look at how you're trying to attack a defense. You can't double team everyone. But with Emmanuel Sanders, I tend to lean more towards the linebacker and the receiver with that 24th pick.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma, or LSU's Justin Jefferson at wide receiver with the Saints' 24th pick? You make the selection. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Who do you want the Saints to pick at 24? Justin Jefferson, linebacker from Oklahoma. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver. But Kenneth Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma. Chuck B. in Mid-City. What's going on, Chuck B.? All good with you? All safe, man?
All good, man. Happy Holy Weekend. And first of all, Bobby, bro, man, you know, condolences to the family for your dad, man. I know he lived a full life, so very full life.
Right.
You know, yeah. So you just, you know, you just miss him when they go, man. But, you know, he's with the Lord, so... my thought is this, man, like you saying, in terms of, you know, if you're trying to win now, looking at, like, you know, I mean, that's crazy to say that the disparity between the wide one and two receiver, that you're right, that is ridiculous. And when you don't have the opportunity to spread the ball as much as you would like to put those points up and be prolific, to be able, they won't know where the ball is going. That's a huge deal if you've got a Justin Jefferson, because the other receivers, they're just players. Jefferson is a playmaker, just like Michael Thomas. You give me playmakers any day, and I'll win a bunch of games for you and a bunch of championships as well, because playmakers win championships. The question is, though, do we still have enough on defense? And then who would we be looking at in the second round on defense, because you still got to address that, you know?
Right. Yeah, because and then you know, fans in Louisiana, you know, they've given the Saints a hard time. You look at Devery Henderson, and you know, and they're still like, okay, who have we really drafted or taken into consideration a player right here in our backyard from LSU? Now, you know, when you think about it, and they've had. You might not have an opportunity to draft him. But like, really, look at the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. I think that was the best thing. You know, he went to the Cardinals. Look at the impact, an all-pro player. Look at who made the all-decade team. Now, Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. You talk about DBU? Well, that's over a decade, considering the recognition that they're getting. So I think fans just like players that they're familiar with. I think they're familiar with Patrick Queen. Now, just talking with Mike Letellier, I think Kenny Murray has more skins in the wall than Patrick Queen, where Kenny Murray's viewed ahead of Patrick Queen. They both could be first-rounders, but Patrick Queen more the a latter pick in the first round. So, you know, that's why I just brought it up, because you got significant LSU players. Well, you have four, if not five, I think – at most six. We don't know what's going to happen to me with Grant Delpit or Christian Fulton. I think they late, or they at least late, middle, late first rounders or early second rounders. But when you look at the four prospects, obviously Joe Burrow, Chase On, Justin Jefferson, and I think even Patrick Queen. So when you look at that kind of influence from LSU and where we're at as a Saints team, with the 24th pick, the fans, because LSU fans are Saints fans are LSU, not everybody, but a lot of them, they go, well, why in the hell we don't draft an LSU player? They just won a national championship. But look at all these first-rounders they're going to have. So it depends on the need and how you grade a player and where they're at. Listen, I know Saints fans could care less deep down. Now, if you want your cake and eat it too, you want an LSU, a local prospect who succeeds at a high level for the Saints. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Look at Devery Henderson, how he bounced back and the impact he had on the Sean Payton. Look at that game on Monday night when he ran that reverse and he scored the only touchdown for the Saints as far as on the offense. But listen, if Kenan Murray from Oklahoma can come in here and he's available anywhere, like, I mean, I don't know, half of DeMario Davis. Look, DeMario Davis went to Arkansas State. You think we care where he went to school? All I know, he's kicking ass with the Saints. That's why if Kenan Murray would come in here from Oklahoma and would be available so we could hold him accountable. And I think Alex Asolone could be that kind of player, but if he's hurt, he was hurt at Florida. He's been hurt in the Saints uniform. You just don't know. That's why, to me, I think where we're at defensively, there's still a lot of question marks with the linebacker court. Now, you might say, look at Craig Robinson. I think Craig Robinson is definitely provides depth at the linebacker position, but he's a special teams guy. He'll make a number of NFL teams. I'll look at A.J. Klein. Okay, you might want to get someone better than A.J. Klein, but they have to be healthy and they got to beat him out. The Buffalo Bills are ecstatic because they have A.J. Klein. They look at him, and I've said this before, like a poor man's Luke Kuechly. So you can't pay everyone. So I'm just looking at kind of where we're at. We're hoping Davenport comes back because I think that really hindered us. If you look with Marcus Davenport being hurt, Sheldon Rankins being hurt, I think that definitely affected us. Now, you have to have depth. But I think if all those guys come back, I look on the back end, bringing in Malcolm Jenkins. Now we got Jack Rabbit. I'm more worried about the linebackers. I don't know if you agree with that, but I'm more worried about that position.
Here's what okay, bear with me on this. Where's the most amount of depth supposedly in this draft? At what position? Wide receiver, right? So
right.
If it's not as thick at linebacker and you got a guy like Kenneth Murray, then you make that your selection because you can – while, yes, Justin Jefferson's a playmaker, right, as Chuck B said. I agree. And I think he would do really well in this offense. But I think you can find someone with a similar skill set that maybe isn't going to be as good or is not currently as good but can still function and also contribute in your offense while you get a major need at linebacker in Kenneth Murray.
Well, but look how drafted how high we drafted Tre'Quan Smith. I mean, Central Florida. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's good, but I mean, can we truly count on him? I mean, come on, you got to step up. So listen, they have a number, the deepest draft ever at wide receiver, but you still got to pick the right wide receiver, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You look. I played with his dad. He was with Tampa Bay. He's no longer there. Brashard Perryman. I played with Brett Perryman. Well, he was a first-round pick with the Ravens. He was a bust. Now, he played his role because he was the third banana with Tampa Bay. And, Chris, I don't know, off the top of my head, I don't even know where he's at. I don't think Tampa Bay's even bringing him back. But still, there could be a lot of receivers, but you still got to pick the right one who's going to produce. And to me, there's no excuse if you're playing in a Saints offense and you legit considering the likes of what Lance Moore was able to do and Willie Snead. That's why Keith Kirkwood and Tre'Quan Smith and all, I'm extremely disappointed in them because I know they're in the right offense. They just didn't produce.
Yeah, for me, it's take the linebacker, Kenneth Murray, address the wide receiver position later on in the second round. I mean, they don't have a two or third round. Fourth round, something like that. I mean, there's other options. I think that I trust this coaching staff and this scouting staff, Bobby, enough to know I've seen it firsthand where they'll produce a talent out of the sixth round. And you're like, what? Where'd that guy come from? Or a seventh round talent.
Well, yeah. And you know, you look at that 24th pick. Let's say the Saints don't go in that direction, like to take a Kenneth Murray. Or, you know, there's Kenneth Murray. I'm looking at Oklahoma. Patrick Queen, obviously I brought him up. Zach Bond from Wisconsin. You know, that's another one. All I know is they're going to do their homework. It's not like if I think they own the benefit of the doubt with Jeff Ireland, Mickey Loomis, and Sean and all the scouting department, that if Kenneth Murray's available and they don't go after him, there's a reason. It's not just like, oh, we didn't pick him because we wanted to go in a different direction. No, they might see some flaws that we don't witness or we don't see because all the hours they spent on film and watching him. But if they really like Kenneth Murray, I think if he's there, that they're going to take him. I think the Saints are in a position right now that they're not just going to take a player because we need a linebacker. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That, okay, we need a damn linebacker, so he's just going to reach. No, if that player is justified to be the 24th pick in the first round, then they'll go in that direction. I'm not saying it's exact science because we missed on the Clemson linebacker, you know, in the past in the first round. But if you look at the percentages, I think still – I remember we were all, like, kind of shocked. We're doing the draft, me, you, Mike Dettillier, Zach Deuce, and all that. And when they took Andrews Pete, we're like, ah, you know, there's nothing sexy about that. You're taking a big, you know, offensive lineman. But the Saints looked on their board, and it was like, okay, best player available. I think the Saints are in a position right now that, considering the depth in the team they have, that they truly, it might shock all of us. It might shock all of the Houdat Nation. Who they pick at 24th might be, well, we just took the best player available no matter what the position. Does that make sense? I'm not saying like Jordan Love. All of a sudden they fall in love with a quarterback. Jordan Love, Utah State. Oh, what about Taysom Hill and all that? If they think now, that's when you need to work them out, and this is going to hinder a guy like Jordan Love. I think it hurts him. I think it hurts Tua when you – cannot have those individual workouts because, you know, you can interview a player and all that. But I trust the Saints because where they're at right now and what they've been able to accomplish, that the best player available, they're taking somebody in the first round who can freaking play. Not like they hope he could play because we would need a needed linebacker. And I think Murray could play. And if they think that, I think they would drive him given the opportunity.
Derek in Lacombe, Ed in Homa, Tony in Australia, and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. We've got Derek. Go ahead, Derek in Lacombe. You're on WWL.
Good to talk to you guys. And first of all, Bobby, my prayers are with you and your family on your loss, but I can tell you, without a doubt, as a man of faith, that your dad is more alive now than he's ever been. So I hope that brings you and your family some comfort. I'm with you guys. I think if I had to lean with anybody, I think I would certainly jump immediately. But I'm wondering, maybe you guys might know the answer to this. Do the Saints have any cap space left for somebody like maybe Clay Matthews that they could, you know, maybe could buy? Enamored with what's available at 24?
Yeah, look, they've got about $7 million, $8 million. They're going to need quite a bit of that to get their draft class signed. And as far as Clay Matthews, I guarantee you Clay Matthews will be there after the draft.
Really?
You know what I'm saying here? Yeah, I mean, I think that he'll be there. So if they feel the need, they can get him after the draft. But I just think Clay Matthews' best days are behind him.
I think he brings a little maturity to the locker room. And I really, by the
they've
way,
got
like
a lot of maturity,
character.
Though. They've got a lot of maturity.
Jefferson and Murray are both high character guys, and I like that. But I think also that this is such a wide, deep, deep draft that we could probably body a good number three later on. And in this, what was cool that the Saints did not trade up at some point the draft.
Wait, say that again. You cut out there. Derek, say that again. You cut out, man. All right, Derek hung up. I didn't hear what he said about trading up, but the DNA, the history on this front office and the head coach, Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton aggressively together are aggressive. I mean, they've traded up in the first round way more than they haven't traded back in the first round, to my recollection, in this regime. They have never traded back in round one. They've always been willing to move up. I wouldn't be surprised if they do at some point. At the end of round one at 24, if they like a player at 19, they'll pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, the thing is, if they have a player targeted and they can't believe that he's there and they have an opportunity to trade up, yeah, I see them more trading up than trading back and trying to stock draft picks. So if they have a player they think can help from the get-go, I could definitely see that trading up. Christian, we haven't mentioned this also because you look at young cornerback, you look at Jack Rabbit, how old he is and all that, you're never going to have enough cover corners. I cannot even pronounce his name. and it might be a, I don't know, the Saints are going to grade him. I don't know if it'd be a reach. It might be a little too high. He could be a late first rounder. The Auburn cornerback, Noah, that's his first name. Now, I didn't even want to pronounce his last name. Igbinoghene. Ogabingahene, I don't even know. I know it's Noah. I'm going to call him Noah. So Noah from Auburn might be a young cornerback that also could be available that I'm sure the Saints are aware of.
Bobby, something that I know you're aware of, but I just want to point out to the fans that this roster that Saints have, so they've got, what, six selections? They really feel like there's probably four of those selections that have a chance of making the team. You get what I'm saying here? So that's why I would be
right.
I would be willing, the Saints are willing to trade up and move around because they know that out of the six selections, three, four might make the team. The other two will almost be looked at as wasted picks. So that's why they'd be willing to move up. Just something to think about.
Be willing to move up and contribute from the get-go.
Right, yeah. And if they had to retool a roster, that's when you hold on to draft picks or maybe even trade back to acquire more. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.